Thank you for listening to the Ablaze Church Sermon Podcast. Our purpose at Ablaze is to love God, love others, follow Jesus, and tell others. If you are looking for a church home in the Tulsa area, we'd love to have you join us for worship on Saturdays at 6:30 p.m. or Sundays at 10:30 a.m. For more information, please visit our website at ablazechurch.org.
We have been going along in this series, One Month to Live. And we had these books available and encouraging everybody to read one of those little mini chapters every day. And then once a week, we would have small groups gathering, some on Zoom, some in person, some a conference call, to talk about and share with each other what the meaning of these chapters are about based on the Word of God. As we think about what if you suddenly found out that you had only one month left to live. How might that change your perspective and how you're going about your life? And we've talked about, first of all, living passionately. We would live more passionately. We would love more completely. We would learn humbly. And the fourth principle, the one we're going to delve into today, is that we would prepare to leave boldly. And by the way, before we even get very far, there's only one way you can leave boldly and confidently, and that is if you leave with faith and trust in Jesus Christ, what he has done for us. And in this holy season, you know, we're moving more and more, you know, close to the time when Jesus died on the cross, his crucifixion, where he died for our sins, and then Easter, when he rose again from the dead. So when we focus on that, when that is our foundation, we are in a position to leave boldly. But what are we going to leave behind after we're gone? A bold legacy. What does it come from? It comes from the convictions in my life. Now, sometimes something can happen that suddenly changes our perspective on things. It was on a morning at breakfast in the year 1888 when Alfred Nobel, looking at the newspaper, was shocked to find out that he had died. I mean, in the obituary. In one of the French newspapers, the headline was this: La Marchand de la Mort est mort. The merchant of death is dead. But there he was, alive. Then remember, oh yeah, my brother Ludwig just recently died, and so the newspaper must have gotten this all confused and credited me with the death. But credited me with leaving a legacy behind of death, destruction. Because what is Albert Nobel famous for besides the Nobel Prize? Yeah, dynamite. You see, nitroglycerin is such an unstable element, compound, that he found a way to let it be transported and more safely detonated, and that was dynamite. But now, dynamite had most of its applications were, you know, in non-military purposes, but the article went on to say that through dynamite, you were able to kill more people more efficiently and so forth. So, merchant of death. He did not want his legacy to be death. He did not want to be remembered for that. But by this time, he had a great fortune, and so he gave away the fortune, created a foundation, the Nobel Prize Foundation, and advances in medicine, in science, literature, and probably the top one of all, the top dog, is the Peace Prize, Nobel Peace Prize. So he wanted a legacy to be left behind that made a difference, a better difference in the world. We also have to ask ourselves, will each of us leave the world a little better off because we have lived than what it was before we were born? And that's a pretty serious kind of a thing, because embedded in that is the whole thing of what is our purpose for living? Why do we take the next breath? What did God have in mind? When God had that first thought about you back in eternity, what did he have in mind? And if we fulfill that, if we find that and live that out, we will make a difference, and there is going to be a bold legacy that we can leave behind. So today we're going to delve into that and the concluding, the fourth message in this matter of 1 month to live. So if you've got your Bibles open to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, we're going to land on verse 10, but it's also going to be up on the screen, okay? So that would be on page 1212. Let's read. And as I read, I'm going to just make a few comments along the way. Here we start out, verse 10. According to the grace of God given to me like a skilled master builder, I laid a foundation. I'll stop here for a moment. Obviously, he's got an analogy here. What is he like? He's like a builder, and he is building something, but it's also by the grace of God. Grace. It's always, everything about Christianity is ultimately about grace. That is an undeserved love that God decided, I'm just going to give it to you because of my love. And it comes to us in Jesus Christ. Now, he's laying the foundation, but now, next line, and someone else is building upon it. Who's that someone else? We are the someone else, okay? The foundation is Jesus Christ. We are now building upon it. So let every one of you, each one, take care, heads up, take care how he builds upon it. For no one can lay a foundation other than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, think about what we had in the object lesson. So if anyone builds on the foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, now a little pause, there's a comma there, but think of a little larger pause. On the other hand, the opposite extreme, wood, straw, hay, straw. Now, each one's work will become manifest. What is it that's going to give clarity as to what lasts and what doesn't? It says, well, when that day, we'll disclose it. He's going to talk a little bit about fire, but I think of it as the account books opened up. Okay, what did you do with what I gave you? It will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test the work. What sort of work each one has done. If the work that anyone has built on the foundation survives, he will receive a reward. In other words, the things that you build on, you know, with the precious things, you know, the gold, the silver, the precious stones, that will accompany you when you go to heaven. Think about that. Now, if you just kind of fritter it away, that would be the wood, the hay, the straw. That would be the work that is burned up. If anyone's work is burned up, it doesn't say you're going to go to hell. No, it says you will suffer loss because you're not going to be able to take that with you into heaven, though he himself will be saved, because salvation is not by our works, but it is by the grace of God, and only as through, well, you're going to go in smelling like smoke. That's my paraphrase there. Okay. So this is our text for today, the word of the Lord for us. Let's bow in prayer. Lord, as we come to you this morning, we invite you to send your Holy Spirit into our hearts and make our hearts so receptive to everything that you want to teach us today and every way that you want our lives to be altered by the power of your word and your Holy Spirit. So, Lord, we just present ourselves to be available to what it is that you've decided you want to do with us. In Jesus' name, amen. I think you've all heard this said, and I don't know if it's true or not, but that if you were facing imminent death, you know, like a sudden kind of thing, like you're falling off a cliff, that all of a sudden, in a few seconds, your whole past life would pass in front of your eyes. That's kind of a scary thought, and even scarier would be, what if all of your life could be seen by everybody else? You know, all your motivations, your thoughts, everything you did, everything you said, everybody else would see it. That would be worse than embarrassing, because a whole lot of things, I don't know about you, but in my life, not very perfect. Sin, yeah, wrong motives, thoughts, deeds, etc. And you'd think that all of that would just totally disqualify you and condemn you on the day of the final judgment. And certainly they should, but here's the good news. For believers in Jesus Christ, all that, everything has already been judged by God. Jesus was judged in our place on the cross so that if you are a believer, it's all been taken care of for you and you're going to be in heaven. You're going to go to heaven. You see, Jesus took the exam. Jesus passed the sin test, actually, in our place. So, you know, his report card, perfect. And then he wrote our name on top. He says, okay, that's yours. And so, however, there is, at the same time, an accounting. I'm not sure exactly how this fits into the whole picture or when, but and theologians will argue about that whole thing. But think of it as there's a series of questions that you might be asked. You know, when you get to heaven, you know, we all say, hey, I'm going to join that line because I'm going to have a bunch of questions for God. How about maybe God has a few questions for you? That's going to be a long line. Like, what did you do with what I gave you? How did you make your life matter for the kingdom? What did you build that would have eternal value upon that foundation, which is Jesus Christ? Or will it all go up in smoke, and that's going to be your legacy? You know, just some smoke and some trash at the end. Well, a bold legacy, okay? Important point here, comes from the convictions in my life. From the convictions in my life. And we go back into 1 Corinthians chapter 3, a little snippet from verse 10. It says, let each one take care how he builds upon it, because that's going to determine your legacy. And there's only one foundation, of course, that's Jesus Christ. Everything else is unreliable. There are going to be things like earthquakes, and if you live in Oklahoma, there will be tornadoes and all kinds of storms. But these things actually are inevitable in life. Jesus talks about destructive storms. And what is going to last? It's got to have the right foundation. Okay, things like, what begins to happen? Like the values. Think of a generation, two generations ago, the values that were assumed to be a part of the general culture of our land are now, in large part, ridiculed, the stuff of jokes. So what happens to us when the storms come? What happens to your family? What happens to your marriage? What happens to your job? What happens to your contentment and your satisfaction in everyday life? If you don't have a solid foundation, it's not going to be all that great. But if you've got Jesus, you have a great foundation. What about convictions? Do you have solid convictions? Foundational truths that you are willing to stake your life, even your eternity on. You see, the word of the Lord stands forever, but everything else is in a state of change. Science changes. Yeah. So I did biological science minor in college. And had all these textbooks. It was so fascinating, all that wonderful stuff. And about 15 years later, they're still sitting on a shelf. And I looked at them and said, everything's changed. I may as well throw these away. They're of no value. Science has developed, has changed. What about things like psychology? Psychology, what we think about, you know, the human being, the human mind, the human functioning, etc., that changes. You know, more discoveries, more, letting go of the old assumptions, coming up with some new assumptions. And these soft sciences particularly change a lot. What about styles? Do they change? Yeah, so who still has bell-bottom jeans, huh? How about, okay, guys, you got your leisure suits? These styles, we look back, I look back at pictures from the 70s and I laugh. I'd love to show them to our grandkids and they just, it's hilarious. Hey, you look like that. You had your hair that way. Oh, man. Okay, so the styles change so rapidly, but the word of God endures forever. Forever, O Lord, Psalm 119, your word is firmly fixed in the heavens. Now, convictions are not so much the things that you hold. Convictions are the things that hold you, that anchor you, that determine pretty much who you are, where you're going, what you're going to be doing. And so many people live without any hard convictions at all. We could use the word bend and blend to work with that. Yeah, so they bend, you know, whichever way the wind of fashion is going, whatever the trend is, whatever the fad is. Be with this group, be with that group. Blend, just try to blend in. That's what it's all about. That's what life is about. Well, we need the core convictions of the Word of God. I'm going to go through a few of them, core truths from the Bible, and see how this might affect that whole thing about leaving boldly and what kind of a legacy we should be leaving behind. First one is this, that we believe that life is short. You look in the obituaries. Now, every once in a while you see 103 years old. So, my goodness, that's long. But that's short compared to eternity. Yeah, eternity is just, it's so hard to imagine. But ever since Adam and Eve fell into sin, we're in that countdown because life is short. So what I want you to take home with you is this thought: don't get too attached to life on this earth. It's short. The next foundational truth is that eternity is long. We believe eternity is long. In fact, long is a very inadequate word. Forever, I really don't quite grasp what forever is. It's just a word that is used to describe something, or not doesn't describe it. It just designates something we don't understand. It's way out there beyond us. And it's so long. Now, this body, this is going to cease to function, but the real me is going to go on how long? Forever. Compared to this life, my goodness, absolutely no comparison. But it is so easy to get distracted by the things of this life and forget about and not take into account what is going to be so hugely the most, you know, the lengthiest, the most important part of your existence. And that is what it will be in eternity. Now, here's another thing, it's a little scary thing. We don't like to talk about it a lot. I like to talk about that there is a heaven. Well, what's the opposite? There is a heaven and a hell. Life is short. Eternity is long. Where are you going to spend it? There are only two addresses, okay? Which one is it going to be? There's only one way to heaven. Either there's only one way to heaven because Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except for me. Or else he was just deluded or he was a liar. And why would we want to spend any time, you know, even thinking about Jesus? Okay? But many roads to hell. Now, another one. We believe that grace is available for everyone. Isn't that a great thing? For everyone. Wow. John 3:16, you know that one, right? And there's a beautiful word in here. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever, that's the beautiful word I'm talking about, whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. Whoever. Grace is not just for one ethnic group, one race, one political party, one nationality, one level of talent or intelligence, for everyone. It's available to everyone. You see, the ground is level at the foot of the cross. What do I mean by that? Two things. First thing is that we're all equally guilty. We're all equally sinners. Every one of us was born in sin. Every one of us has participated, sometimes even gleefully, in sin. Huh? We're part of that problem, okay? The ground is level. You just can't say, oh, you're a worse sinner than I am. I'm a better sinner. No, I'm a sinner. We're all sinners. We all need the grace of God. We're all whosoever's, okay? But the other thing, the other part of that is that grace puts us also on that even level ground around the cross. That God loves, there's no person he doesn't love. He does not hate anything that he has made. And so he wants everyone to enjoy that gift of eternal life. And so he made a way that's absolutely free. You don't have to earn it. You don't have to deserve it. It's free. The ground is level because of that grace, whoever would receive it. Then, here's another one. Another core truth from the Bible. We believe that life is what? Preparation for eternity. That's why we're still here. We're in preparation for eternity. Now, if we don't get that, we're going to really miss a whole lot about the purpose of our earthly life. You see, and everything that happens here on this earth can be a preparation for our, you know, our most significant existence, and that is in eternity. Even the problems, the pains, the frustrations, everything disagreeable actually can be part of what God would use to prepare us for eternity. Because in every one of these, God is at work building our character. Each one is a test, and not every test we get from God is a written test, okay? They're life tests, and these things are kind of like a chisel, removing anything that does not resemble the image of Jesus Christ. The chisel. Michelangelo's David, probably the greatest masterwork of sculpture, out of marble. Beautiful. And you look at that, and we've had the privilege of seeing it, you see the ripples in the muscle. The veins, you know, that come on the arms when those muscles are rippling, the sinews, just the way it's like captured in stone, a living man there. Oh, Michelangelo was asked, how in the world did you ever do that? How could you accomplish it? He said, well, I just chipped away anything that didn't look like David. And that's what God is doing. He's chipping away anything that doesn't look like Jesus in our lives. Now, God doesn't cause the pains that we experience. He allows them, and then he says, not only that, I'm going to work through them. Anybody know Romans 8:28? Huh? How does that one go? Anybody out there, you know, online, can you tell me what Romans 8:28 means or what it is? So that in everything, God is working for the good of those who love him, who are called according to his purpose. Okay. So he doesn't waste anything. And in all of that, in everything, he is actually forming our character. Now, let's take another one. And this is, we believe this, that we can change the world. Sounds kind of crazy, doesn't it? But I tell you what. There are two things you're not going to be able to do in heaven. You're not going to do two things. One is you're not going to sin. In fact, you're going to be incapable of sinning in heaven. Second thing is you can't make any converts when you get there because everybody that's there is already converted, saved, born again, child of God. Those are the only ones that are left in. Yeah. So anyway, you can't do that. So the only way we can bring people to salvation is as we fulfill the Great Commission here on earth in this short time that we have to hear. So let's go to Matthew 28, verses 18 to 20. This is what we call the Great Commission. And I'm going to warn you, a month from now, I'm going to be preaching a sermon on this and delving more deeply into how can we actually do this. Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Since he's got that authority, what does he say? Go. You know, what are the first two letters in the word gospel? G-O. Okay. Yeah. There's a lot of go in it. Go, therefore, and make disciples. of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That's why we begin, we end our services, you know, in the name, that name in which we're baptized into the family of God, teaching them. This is maturing them, discipling, to observe everything that I have commanded you, and behold, I am with you always to the very end of the age. So it's kind of like Jesus saying, hey guys, I'm going back to heaven, but I'm leaving you something special. I'm leaving my presence with you, I promise. I'm with you always. And so he gave the Holy Spirit to bring us the presence of Jesus. He gave us, Holy Communion, the table, the sacrament, in which he says, yeah, you commune with me at my table. I'm going to be with you. I'm leaving that behind for my church. And you'll need all of this to do the job that I have for you, which is to, if you think you know it, say it with me, love God, love others, follow Jesus, and the fourth, tell others. Oh, man. Okay, so if you've got 1 month left to live, wouldn't you want to let others know how to get to heaven? Yeah, what a legacy to leave behind, making a difference for all eternity in the lives of others. We've got a few things coming up. Easter, now that's a pretty important thing in the Bible, isn't it? A pretty important thing in the history of the world. And we celebrate it 2,000 years later. We're going to be doing it again. We're going to invite as many people as we can. And we're also doing a little thing we call an Easter egg hunt. A little different this year, drive through, get a kit to do your own at home. We need a bunch of people to help out with that because we want to make a statement to our community. It says we care about the people that live around us. And we want to have a way we can begin to form more connections with more people because we have a message that is important for all eternity. So don't leave without signing up, okay? A bunch of other things like Casa Por Cristo, all of which is a way of saying we want to let people know how they can get to heaven. Now, we need more than just contribution of a little bit of time and a little bit of effort now and again. But a bold legacy, this is another point, is expressed by what? The contribution of my life. Now we're going to go back into 1 Corinthians chapter 3 a little bit. Now if anyone builds on the foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, other hand, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become manifest, for the day will disclose it, because it will be revealed by fire. It's going to burn away everything that doesn't really matter, and it will test what sort of work each has done. So God allows the fire, the pressures, the problems, and those things give clarity as to what's real and what's fireproof, the difference between what is temporary and what is eternal. Now, we have a choice when these things of the fire come along in our lives. They can either make us bitter or they can make us better. You see, the pain, we know that that's inevitable, but the misery, that's your choice. That's optional. So let these things that come along enhance your legacy, for your very life now can be a contribution. And in our lives, we're either part of a problem or we're part of the solution. And only you can make that decision as to what you are going to be in this life. So how would you handle it if you had just 1 month to live? Well, how about this? To risk it. Risk it all. Why? Because there's nothing to lose. We've already established that we're not going to take anything with us when we go, except we're going to take, the things of silver and gold, costly stones. That would be our character, our relationship with God, and our love for other people. That's all we get to take with us, okay? Everything else we can send on ahead, all right? So we've got nothing to lose, so what's the risk? What's the risk? Now think about this. When you get to heaven, okay, so you've been lying in a bed, you know, you're sick, and your eyes close in death. Suddenly your eyes open and say, where am I? I'm in heaven. And you look. First thing you can, the only word you can say is wow, as you look at it there. The things you'll see, the things you'll hear, the people you'll meet. And again, you'll say, wow. You're just going to be like overcome, you know, wonder, love, and praise to God. You know, don't you just really get something special when we're worshiping the Lord and we have some kind of high moments of praise? And just right now, I have that just a tiny, tiny glimpse of what it might be like to be in heaven. And everything else kind of fades away, even the music, but it's just your relationship with God. So that is the thing that is of greatest importance. Now let's think again about being in that line where you thought you were going to go and ask God those questions, you know. Why do bad things happen to good people? You know, how long did it take really to make this earth and the universe? You know, how many galaxies are out there? You're going to ask them those. You're not going to be interested in that, by the way, when it comes to that time. But God's probably got some questions for you. What did you do with what I gave you? What did you do with Jesus Christ? What did you do that will last forever? Did you bring anyone along with you into heaven? Did you share my love, my compassion? Did you minister to people who are in need? The difference between the temporal things, the wood, the hay, the straw, or the eternal, the gold, the silver, the costly stones. Yeah, your character, your relationship with God, your love with, for others, that's what remains. When would be a good time to start acting on earth like as if you're really preparing for eternity? If what we say we believe actually became how we live it out. So, finally, giving it all, where we gain everything. Jesus said, don't store up your treasures on earth, where your treasure is, that's where your heart is also. Fix your thoughts on things that are above. Fix your hearts on Jesus Christ and the desire to be obedient to him. Because anything you store up on earth, how much of it's going to be left when you're gone? I mean, it's all going to be gone. Nothing there for you. So Jim Elliot, the missionary, who was a martyr to the Aucca tribe down in Ecuador, he said this, he is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. Well, so much of it gets burned up, right? 4th of July comes along, you go to the fireworks stands, and you buy all that stuff. You know, you sink a whole bunch of money in it. Even if you live in Broken Arrow, you go and get a permit so you can do those in your own yard. And you go to those, you set them up, and then you light them. Boom! Everybody says ooh ah, and it's all pretty and so forth. And then you know the one that costs you the most, that's your pièce de résistance, and it's like whoa, look at that. And then after the flash, where is it? It's all burned up. It's all gone. All that's left is the stink and the trash. Yeah. How about our lives, huh? You want a fireworks life? Or do you want one that lasts for where you leave behind what will last for other people? Your choice. Amen.